You're listening to the Ceres Sustainability Podcast, an ongoing conversation with investors, corporations, policymakers, and environmentalists about how financial markets and businesses are trying to address the most pressing environmental issues of the day. From Ceres, I'm your host, Ian Gray. Yep, water. It's one of the most vital resources on the planet, and becoming increasingly scarce. Climate change-enhanced droughts, melting snowpacks, and the growing needs of cities from Las Vegas to Beijing are all pointing toward a water-constrained future. Deciding how to balance the freshwater needs of communities, corporations, and ecosystems will be one of the first major challenges of a climate-altered planet. But where some see lemons, others see lemonade. 7 years ago, General Electric seized on this challenge as a huge business opportunity and created its Water and Process Technologies division. Now a $3 billion business, GE's portfolio of water-related clients includes major electric utilities such as Duke Energy and Florida Power & Light, refineries owned by ConocoPhillips and Shell, and manufacturing plants run by microprocessing behemoth Intel. GE is also the largest builder of desalination plants in the world, an energy-intensive technology that turns salt water into drinking water. Jeff Connolly, vice president of the division, says that GE's goal is to help industries, cities, and households better manage how they use and waste water. The Ceres podcast recently spoke with Connolly about how GE is using technology to solve the looming water crisis. So water scarcity is this looming problem all over the world. I mean, people are talking about water footprint now, starting to talk about it like they talk about carbon footprints. What are some of the pressures creating market demand for GE in this area?
Well, I think clearly, even in our own lives, we know that we probably use more than we need. We probably waste more than we should. And you could talk about whether that's water, whether that's gasoline, whether that's any precious commodity. And what we're finding now is developing a water footprint portfolio of metrics that will help us measure the efficiency of the water that we draw, how much of that are we actually sending down to waste. And there's a very interesting set of dynamics that you'll see later in the coming months from GE about how we're going to measure ourselves in that area. And we believe that, you know, a water footprint should be as close to zero as it can be. And that means what we use, we recycle. Now, you won't get every facility to a water footprint of zero. But today, if you look around, you'll find companies that draw enormous amounts of water and then send all of that water, when they're done with it, to some waste stream. We believe that there are, the technology exists. Certainly, we have the technology that companies and customers can invest in, which will allow them to recycle that water. And not only will that take the load off the waste stream, but it will also take the load off of what they're drawing in and thereby free up a lot of that water for other use in the community.
So, you know, you think about some of the emerging technologies like biofuels, and also new methods of extracting oil from oil sands that are incredibly water intensive. Are those the kind of sectors that the GE is hoping to get into working with to help circulate? I mean, I think oil sands, it's for every gallon of oil you produce, it takes 5 gallons of water, right? Much more intensive than regular oil production.
First of all, you know, our energy business, as I described earlier today, has a number of renewable platforms that we're pursuing, biofuels being one of them. We also have a very active presence in the oil sands in Canada today, and for that exact purpose. There's no question that this country, this part of the world, has to develop alternative sources for oil and for energy. The oil sands represents a really unique and a terrific opportunity to do that. Now, it is water intensive, and so along with that, much like with many things in the energy and water industry, there's so many parallels between the two. There is a high demand for the right kind of water, the right quantity of water to be able to capture the gold in the oil sands. So we have a big presence, increasing even more today, to be able to provide the technology and the equipment that will give these oil developers access to the kind of water and access to the kind of technology that will allow for reuse and recycling to be able to make extracting oil from the oil sands a reality. So it's a big, big part of our growth plan going forward.
Where are other emerging markets that GE is paying attention to? Maybe not in the developed world, maybe not in America or Europe, but what about, you know, in places like Africa or other parts of the world?
Yeah, I think you don't have to go too long picking up the newspapers every day to find something about water problems in one of the emerging markets. And the good news for GE Water and Process Technologies is we have a global footprint of technology folks and our commercial teams that are deployed literally in every country. So we have a team in Africa. We have a team in China, a team in Australia, a team in India, teams in Eastern Europe where water challenges are the greatest. In fact, it was just 3 weeks ago that we, along with the government of Algeria, celebrated the grand opening with the Prime Minister of 50 million gallon a day desalination plant on the coast of Algeria in a little town called Hama, where we have an ownership stake in the plant along with the government and the local power authority, and we are providing 50 million gallons of fresh drinking water to the citizens of Algeria today. And now the water in that city is able to flow 7 days a week instead of 4 days a week. So we have, not only are we focused there, we actually have living reference plants in places like Africa. We've got numerous bids that we're involved in right now in Australia, which is going through its record, I don't even remember the number of years now that they've been under what they would consider an extreme drought. We've got pilots running throughout India because of the severe, especially in some of the outlying villages, the severe water shortages they have there. So for us, the emerging markets is probably the biggest part of our growth plan over the next 3 to 5 years, and we're positioned today already in those countries to start engaging with governments and companies and municipalities to help bring our solutions to market there.
So most people consider that everyone has a right to clean drinking water, that everyone should be able to access clean drinking water. But how do we balance the needs of people and ecosystems to have water in them with the needs and uses of businesses, which create economic growth and prosperity? And a lot of parts of the world, both of these are at issue. Do we treat water as a commodity? Do we set up trading schemes to manage who gets to use water and how much of it they get to use?
You know, I think, first of all, I firmly believe there's enough water to go around for everybody. I think it's how we use it, how careful or careless as the case may be, we are with it, as with any precious commodity. And so I think at the end of the day, we should not only measure the footprint, the consumption, the conservation, we should also measure the application. What are we using the water for? What is the source of the water that we're using for a given application? In other words, are we using municipal drinking water to water our lawns? We can certainly take a look at not allowing that to happen. We can recycle wastewater or storm drain water. You know, an example of wastewater reuse around the world is GE's plant in Kuwait. And this plant was constructed 4 years ago to take 100 million gallons of wastewater, water that was simply going to rivers or streams, recycle it through our membrane system, and redirect all of that recycled clean water to the irrigation industry in Kuwait, which is a huge consumer of water. And they had previously been taking it right off the municipal drinking water system. And so now you've got recycled water not going to rivers, wastewater not going to rivers and waste streams, but instead taking the place of drinking water that was being used to water thousands and hundreds of thousands of acres of crops while preserving the drinking water. It's a complete win-win situation for everyone concerned. And I think for me, even more so than desalination, that is a solution that we need to see pop up in more places around the world to solve water scarcity issues. It's less costly. the energy costs are lower, the life of the membranes is longer than it is in the world of desalination, and it's a fantastic solution to a number of different problems.
Well, Jeff, thanks for talking with us.
That's great. Thanks for having me, and look forward to doing more.
You just listened to Jeff Connolly, Vice President of the Water and Process Technologies Division at General Electric, talking about emerging technologies that mitigate the impacts of water scarcity on businesses and communities. For more information about water scarcity, visit our website www.ceres.org/podcasts. And stay tuned for an upcoming report from Ceres on water risk within specific industry sectors, due out sometime in late 2008. Thanks for listening. For Ceres, I'm Ian Gray.